This is Jason Bell from the NFL Show, and you are listening to the Franchise Tag Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Franchise Tag Podcast with me, your host, Freddie Hall. I hope you're doing all okay. The sun is shining. It is bright. It is warm. What a lovely day it has been today. We sure got a lovely day tomorrow as well from the looks of it. And until we have to get wait till we get the snow over on Monday. I mean, what crazy times we're living in the UK. It's boiling hot one week and then maybe snow and rain the next. But while you're out there in the sun, enjoying yourself, being socially distant with your friends, the vote we're allowed to do now, why don't you listen to the Franchise Tag Podcast for the old fan, the new fan and the UK fan. Follow us on social media on Facebook and Instagram with the Franchise Tag Podcast and on Twitter with the handle at Franchise Tag UK. You can DM us on there or email us at thefranchisetagpod@gmail.com. You can find our podcast on iTunes Podcast where you can leave a rating and a review, and we are on Spotify as well. But if you don't have any platforms, it's okay. You can go to www.thefranchisetag.co.uk. I'm joined again today once again by good friends Adam and Andrew. They are joining me to talk all things NFL. We're going to be talking a little bit about the draft, about the big trades that happened in the week. We're also going to talk about some international news with the games and the 17-game schedule now happening. But mostly today, we're going to focus on the big trade that happened in the draft last week, which was between the Miami Dolphins, Philadelphia Eagles and Atlanta Falcons. But firstly, why don't we kick off with this tweet that we sent amongst in our group to each other. So we're going to start this week's episode off with something that we chatted about in the WhatsApp group earlier that Adam actually put in. So it's to do with the international series of the NFL. So now that the NFL is going to be a 17-game schedule rather than a 16-game schedule that was announced earlier this week, it was a tweet from Albert Breer that I'll just quote, and that was inside this week's MMQB, the structure of the 17-game season, how the NFL calendar will be reconfigured. And it gave you an international scheduling model of what the markets are going to be. So is it going to be, hopefully, this looks like more in 2022 than 2021. 2021, the jury's still out, I suppose, whether the NFL games are going to happen. Lots of chit-chat amongst a lot of podcasters and fans, etc., about whether that will happen or not. So we'll wait and see for that following in the months ahead. But it looks like there's going to be two games at Tottenham, one game in Munich or Berlin, and one game in Azteca in Mexico. And Adam, there's lots of detail in there about you can play once every 8 years. It's going to be a turnaround of teams, etc. What was your initial thought when you saw this new idea, this new model coming out for 2022?
Probably a good idea for the end of Europe, and Germany's got a massive base of fans there that want to see it. There does seem to be a little bit of confusion as to whether or not there's the two games for London, whether or not this includes the Jacksonville Jaguars deal with Wembley. There has been talk that it's a separate thing, but at the same time, I did read that the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars came out and said that the deal came to an end this year. So obviously the games weren't played in 2020. So the games came to an end then. And at the moment, there's no deal on the table for them coming back. So obviously a lot will depend on that. And, you know, if they don't come back, then obviously dropping down to two games for the UK is a bit of a kick in the teeth and a bit of a surprise, really, because normally when you have a successful market, you tend to build on it rather than take stuff away. So I can kind of see maybe their point is that they've already conquered the UK market so that they feel that they don't have to bring as many. But it just seems a bit of a shame for us fans. Obviously, it's going to be a lot harder to get tickets if there's only two games as opposed to four. And it's a bit of a kick in the teeth for anyone who had a season ticket at Wembley as well. So, yeah, I think that it's still a little bit up in the air at the moment.
Andrew, your point straight away from this was I've been a Wembley ticket season holder since the first game. And your problem when Tottenham happened, when the first game happened there, was that it started from scratch. And you're like, hang on a minute, I've been a Wembley season ticket holder since the first game. I've been loyal to the NFL. Like, there should be that priority. And there was lots of arguments like that. I completely agree with both sides of it in a way. But what's your thinking about this? Because when I've spoken to other people about it, they said they're just going to scrap the whole season ticket thing and it will just be buying tickets to a game. Now, is that going to work or not? We just don't know. But how are your feelings and thoughts on it, Andrew?
Yeah, I mean, you remember when I went on to get tickets when they said the Spurs games would come out. I thought there would be a window for season ticket holders to sort of go, if they did want tickets for Tottenham, there might be a priority to go and get them, not necessarily automatically have them. But within an hour of them being online, every single ticket company had snapped them up and I was still sat in a queue waiting to get through when they were being sold singularly. My main worry is we go as a group every year to all the games. There's five of us. I just feel like this new platform of getting five tickets together to go to it is going to be so difficult. I mean, you managed to pick up the odd ticket here and there dotted around the stadium, but it just takes away from the event of the day for us, which is what one of the biggest things we look forward to every single year going as a group. And it really keeps the lads together and something to look forward to.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it's if you're behind a computer and you saw online one person trying to buy five tickets, your immediate thought process could be, is this one person buying five tickets to sell all five tickets because they want to make a profit? Or is this actually someone who has four friends who he wants to go with? And now the problem is the world we're living in now, how it's got with NFL games, and I think with sport in general, probably. I don't go to many Premier League football games or anything like that. But we know the ticket tout culture that is happening in the big ticket conglomerations culture that's happening in the UK. And it's going to go that way where it's going to get harder and harder, and it is a negative and it does put people off. What is cool is if it does happen in Germany, there could be an aspect to go over to Germany. However, the European gym market is huge as well. Like the amount of people we've seen, German teams and people that we've seen when we've been to Wembley, for example, myself and Andrew, there's a massive market there. I don't blame them for going to explore that market at all. If it's growing the market in Europe, then that's fantastic. But to the detriment of the UK, then it gets a bit of a hard pill to swallow. So we'll just see what happens going forward with that. I mean, it's 2022. The NFL is very good at chopping and changing and being able to be dynamic. So this might be the idea initially, but it doesn't mean it's going to be the end product. So we'll just have to wait and see on that. However, let's go on, Adam. No, please go ahead.
The thing that I find very strange, and this isn't kind of how the NFL has ever operated, there's going to be more games. Everyone's playing an extra game. It seems bizarre to take games away from somewhere. You would think you would use the game no one's got a problem with them having a game in Germany. You'd think it'd be an extra game rather than taking it away. The NFL fans in America would still be getting the same amount of the product and you could spread it out and get more. So it does seem a bit weird because of that.
Yeah, the argument there is if it was 16 game schedule, more games going abroad, less they're going to be at home, more expensive to go, be able to go away to see your team. However, then I have added a game. So essentially, you're not really losing anything. And from the looks of it, because it's only four games spread across three countries, and because of the cycle that they're trying to do it in, it's not going to be the same teams all the time, etc. It is going to come around. So I get where you're coming from with that, certainly. Let's move on to the big news that happened in the last week. And that was over in the 2021 NFL draft. Like I said, we're just about a month away now, pretty much month bang on now, actually, to when the draft starts. And the latest things was there was a huge trade amongst three teams. Little side note was that Trevor Lawrence won't be attending the ceremony, which I immediately was like, I don't like that. I want to see Lawrence go on stage, shake Goodell's hand, everything like that. However, I've just watched the Pat McAfee show and they were talking about it. And then he said, well, I think now because of what happened last year, really, like, it's quite nice seeing them with the families. And if you now have an option to be able to just do it from home, don't you want to be around like all your friends and family and everything like that, rather than bringing like a select three, four people to the actual draft, because that's what will happen with the COVID regulations in Cleveland. So I can see where they're coming from with that. And I actually have a bit more respect for Trevor Lawrence not doing that, which, let's be honest, he is going to be the number one pick and he is the face of 2021 NFL draft this year. But let's talk about the bigger thing. Let's talk about the big news that we had. And that was the huge trades we had within the draft that have somewhat changed the landscape of the the top 15, and especially the top five anyway, and that was between the San Francisco 49ers, the Miami Dolphins, and the Philadelphia Eagles. So let's just break down what happened with all that. So firstly, there was a trade between the 49ers and the Dolphins. So the 49ers acquired the number 3 pick, which was the Dolphins, which then the Dolphins got their number 12 pick. They also got a first rounder and a third rounder in 2022. And a first rounder in 2023 as well. So Dolphins coming away there with still his first round pick this year and two in the next 2 years as well. Then Miami traded back up from 16 to 6, where the Dolphins acquired the number 6 and the 156th pick in the 2021 draft. And the Philadelphia Eagles then moved down to number 12 and they got the 123rd pick this year as well. Lots of numbers. I'm sure it's hard to follow, but they also got the first rounder in 2022 as well. Lots of movement between these three teams. Some clever movement here. Lots of signals of predictions we could now make about these teams. I think we should go through these teams each individually. So we'll talk about the 49ers firstly, because they've made the biggest jump from going from 12 to number 3. The 49ers have clearly moved up here to get a quarterback. And all over social media and online, even Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, I believe, is the GM, they weren't exactly avoiding saying that they were going to pick a quarterback. It seems pretty set in stone that they're going to. Were you surprised when you saw the 49ers climbing this high up?
Not necessarily surprised, because there's been a lot of talk of them in the offseason that they're potentially looking to acquire a new quarterback, whether it be in the draft or a trade or some form of bringing someone new in. So there's been talk about that all offseason, so it's not overly surprising. It's slightly surprising when you think about who they might take and how it might pan out is the more surprising part of it when you really try and drill into it, because at the minute, Jimmy Garoppolo is still in the house. So, you know, that's the bit that's kind of a bit surprising for me.
I would have think that Jimmy Garoppolo would have been traded out by now. I mean, that was the rumor for a long time, wasn't it, Adam? Was that the Patriots are really thinking about bringing Jimmy Garoppolo back. And it hasn't happened. And I don't think he will move either. I think whoever they draft him will probably sit. There's names in there that they could get. I mean, they're not going to get Trevor Lawrence, obviously, but Zach Wilson is the people that are tipping the New York Jets to pick, but the Jets could easily go a different way. You also have Trey Lance. Mac Jones in the last like 3 days has risen from, I thought we could potentially, Steelers could potentially get him down there, and he suddenly rose all the way up to, I've seen in some mock drafts, the number 6 pick at the minute. What did you think about 49ers when this all came through?
It doesn't overly surprise me that they moved up. It's kind of maybe a little bit surprising they've moved up as high as they have. And the fact that they gave up as much as they did as well, that's the kind of surprising thing. I think they're probably, you know, they, in the nicest possible way, I think when it comes to Jimmy Garoppolo, they know that they're going to struggle to get that Super Bowl win with him. I think he can do okay, but it's a mixture of two things. I think it's that he's an okay quarterback, but he's not the best. And also, it's keeping him on the field. So you can see why they're looking at doing it. I think the other thing also is that, realistically, that team was so decimated with injuries last year that they're going to be much better this year. When are they going to be that high up in the draft pecking order anyway to be able to make a move like this? So I think that's the other reason that they've probably done it. As for who they take, I mean, I've heard so many people say Trey Lance. I've heard many people say Mac Jones. I've heard Justin Fields. Literally all three of them have been linked to him. And I think it very much depends what they want to do, whether they want to keep Jimmy Garoppolo there for the rest of, like, for 2021. They might want to keep him there. They say they've already budgeted for him. So it's, you know, no skin off their nose if they keep him, sort of thing. So they can keep him there, and they can have someone just sit behind and just learn. And then if you get to halfway through a season or he gets injured, then they can take over. So there's lots of different angles I think this one could go. But I think the reason they're doing it is that they feel that they can't win the Super Bowl with him.
2 points where I'd definitely go for that is that the Jimmy Garoppolo we said about the health thing. I mean, he's missed 23 of a possible 48 regular season games. And last year he had six games, 94 completions, 1,096 yards, seven touchdowns, five interceptions. I did miss Justin Fields out of the quarterbacks where I was listing off. The also other point I made is saying about budgeting. Now, they got Trent Williams on a big contract, signed him up. But you would say, you're saying about Jim Garoppolo winning the Super Bowl. They were only in the Super Bowl a year ago. They're a win now team in my mind. Like injuries barring last year, they were probably in the fight for the NFC Championship again this year. They are a win now in an aspect. They're very, very talented. What I quite like about this move for quarterback is maybe moving off of Jimmy Garoppolo is the rest of their squad, Adam, is still quite young, really. You look at Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, I mean, Nick Bosa. They've got some really young talent still there. So really, when people talk about drafting a new young quarterback, it's sort of like, well, new young quarterback, and then we're going to build from the ground up, and he's the base, really. Whereas really, a new quarterback that comes into this system, they're going to have Kyle Shanahan, who's a fantastic quarterback coach and head coach. And they've got a really young, talented team all around them. I mean, it's not like a rookie quarterback is going to go into this scenario and it's going to be a while before they start winning and hitting heights. This team, probably within 2 years, is going to be still hitting really high heights with a good rookie quarterback, surely.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they got as far as they did with Jimmy Garoppolo, they made it to the Super Bowl. It just, unfortunately, is that during that game, they had to rely on him a little bit and it didn't work. But it kind of goes to show that you don't need the best quarterback. You don't, the way that Shanahan has his system, the way it works, he needs a guy who can listen to what he says and can almost be like, you need to just, you know, look for that guy because I'm going to do all these amazing things that you're not going to, that you don't need to know about. You just need to concentrate on passing the ball to that guy because he's going to be open. So in that way, I think he definitely doesn't necessarily need the greatest quarterback in the world. You know, there were before they moved up, there were rumors about Deshaun Watson as someone who might, you know, they could potentially trade for and something like that. He doesn't need that. He doesn't need that quarterback who can do everything. He needs a steady, solid quarterback who can do what he wants him to do. And in a way, when you start looking at the potential guys that he could take, you do start going towards Mac Jones and someone like that who is maybe doesn't look exactly 100%, you know, athletic and isn't the Patrick Mahomes style kind of guy. But, you know, when you think of Shanahan and his past and who he's had with at Washington, when he had, you know, Kirk Cousins and Matt Ryan at Atlanta, these sort of guys, Mac Jones isn't, you know, he's potentially that kind of guy. He's not Patrick Mahomes. He's not Aaron Rodgers doing all these amazing things. He's kind of just solid, kind of steady sort of guy, and so maybe he is the guy, but you know, who knows who they're going to go for.
I'm going to immediately pass that baton on to Andrew because he's more of a college knowledge man than I am. What would you respond to Adam there with Andrew?
I mean when I break it down and look at the options that are there, I mean, Trevor Lawrence and I think Zach Wilson, I think we're saying are not on the table at that slot for them. So, you know, the big one is everyone saying it's Trey Lance. You know, they went to see him on his pro day and they made the move up to that pick prior to the likes of Wilson, Fields and Mac having their pro days. I mean, Mac Jones and Fields' pro day is today. So, you know, they've made that move up before they've even seen them. So that's led everyone to Trey Lance. My trouble with Trey Lance is I haven't seen enough of him. And he's been playing in Division One. So he's not been playing any of the elite teams. He's not been playing any of the NFL players that are coming through. So, you know, he's never had a Chase Young down his neck or anything like that at him. So I struggle to value him as high as what I'm seeing him go. And the view is that they might go for him is because when they did get beat and Jimmy G was sort of on his back, they want someone a bit more Mahomes-like. And that's what you're hearing a lot of. So, you know, maybe he does fit the bill for that. But if Jimmy Garoppolo has, if they're saying, I think Trey Lance doesn't know, that step up is a massive step up from Division One to NFL. So he's going to have to sit behind someone. So my worry is, what if Jimmy Garoppolo has a fantastic year with him sat behind him, and then you're left with the choice? I know it's not the same choice, but like a choice you had at Green Bay, you know, you've brought someone in and Rodgers is fantastic and you now can't move off of him. You know, Jimmy Garoppolo's record at San Francisco is fantastic when he's fit. I think it's 28-8 or 23-8 or something.
He's got an unbelievably winning record.
And some of his issues last year and his losses last year when he had three losses were due to him not being fit enough when he came back and struggling in a team that had multiple injuries. So, you know, they've gone really heavy in free agency on that O-line, bringing in Austin Mack and paying Trent Williams the money. So that O-line's going to be good. So that's my worry with Trey Lance. The Mac Jones one makes a little bit more sense because he's been, you know, my view on him was he played for Alabama last year, which had the best O-line in college, probably the best we've seen in college for the last sort of 10 years. He had the best wide receivers and the best running back. So he was never under pressure. He was in the best team. He had all the time in the world. And fair play to him. He, you know, took the team to a championship and won and had great stats and looked fantastic. He's come up against the better teams. He's a little bit more probably ready for the NFL than Trey Lance is. But I'm not sure you needed to trade up from 12 to 3 to get him. I know they're sending both Shanahan and Lynch to his pro day today. So they're both going to be at Mac Jones's pro day, which points in the good direction for him. I think the assistant GM's going to see Fields. So whether they saw enough from Fields in the 2 years that he played for Ohio and they like him, I struggle with them going with Fields based on what I've seen from them doing. But I think Fields is the best option if you want an ultimate sort of straight in replacement for Garoppolo and Garoppolo gets out. I think Justin Fields is probably the most ready out of all of them to do that. There's options on all of them. And it is real strange for me because, like I say, with Jimmy Garoppolo still in the house, what if he has an incredible year? I mean, that O-line's good. The receivers are young. He could potentially take them back to a Super Bowl. That is not off the cards, really, is it?
No, it's not off the cards. However, I would say if we're comparing it to the Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love situation, like, he is Aaron Rodgers. Like, he is incredible. Like, Garoppolo is okay. He's even if he has a great year, how great will it be really in a way? If you get where I'm coming from, that sounds a bit like convoluted.
But it's hard to move off of someone when they have an amazing season, though. That's a bit unfair.
The only thing I would say about that is that, and this is something that's leveled at Garoppolo a lot, is how much of it is actually him and how much of it is the play calling. And I think that because of that, it probably makes it a little bit easier. The one, you know, they give him more opportunities and he doesn't quite stand up. And I think that's the problem. And you just kind of get that feeling that they've taken the opportunity because they know that they're not going to be this low in the draft for a long time. And they've gone, right, we're going to get my guy sort of thing and sort of go for that. And I kind of get the feeling that that's what it is. And also the other thing is that, you know, that it's entirely possible that if they do trade Jim Garoppolo, they'll get something back, you know, as in like a pick that they can use, whether that be for this year, next year, whenever, you know, you don't know. And it might be something that you might find doesn't actually come to any sort of fruition until maybe like training camp, when they're both actually competing in training camp. And you come out and go, actually, the new guy's ready to go. So we might as well trade him, or we might as well try and see what we can get. So
The thing I would say is it's like a lot of these teams that are floating up in this top 10. This is a very, very strong quarterback draft. So you could, like, for example, I've mocked a lot for the Falcons to take a quarterback. And Andrew, you've definitely said to me, well, they've got Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan's good. In next year, they could cut Matt Ryan, say they save themselves 20 mil and they have a dead cap space of 20 mil. And everyone's going, well, what you say, like, well, let's just hold on to Matt Ryan for a bit. But at the same time, is there going to be another draft that's going to have this many quarterbacks at this higher level? And I think that's what a lot of these teams, like for 49ers, I'd argue, don't really need another quarterback. I think they're a strong enough market to be able to sign a big free agent or to trade, you know, get a big free agent. And they don't really necessarily need to get a rookie quarterback. But this is a really good draft for quarterbacks, and they were able to do it. And they didn't really give up a lot either, having said that. Let's move on to the other team that is in this trade. So that's the Miami Dolphins. So, Andrew, we'll start with you on this. I mean, the Dolphins trade out to 12. They go back up to 6. I'm loving all this movement. They've managed to turn Laremy Tunsil into 4 first-round picks, 2 second-round picks, a third-round pick. They seem to be done the best business in a couple of years now. I mean, they traded Minkah Fitzpatrick to us. The Steelers have got first round pick. They've done a lot of wheeling and dealing in recent years, but this feels really good by Miami. I feel like everyone's saying that Miami's won this trade, I suppose. But how did you feel about Miami? Were you surprised that they went to 12 and then traded back up? Because I think they could have sat at 12 and got still a very decent player in a position of need.
Yeah, I think they definitely did win the trade, looking at sort of future and what they're building there and the year that they had last year and what they can build on for the future. So they got a lot of youngsters there. So I think it was very, very good business from them. And they obviously had something in mind that they wanted, which is why they've gone back up to 6. I think I've read since sort of it's all happened that they are going to go heavy on offensive weapons, is what I'm hearing from the draft. So, you know, that looks like they're going maybe wide receiver, running back in the first round, and maybe O-line later on. They've got the picks in the second round to do it as well. Mm. I think it's good work from them. They're going to get 2 absolutely fantastic youngsters in that first round to help them. And for the future, they're going to be one to watch with the drafts every year now, because it's just going to get stronger and stronger, and they're going to be spending no money on all of these draft picks when they're coming in on rookie contracts. And they're going to get first round players every single year, which is going to be fantastic for them to bring in free agents each year and re-sign players that they're going to need to. So it's going to put them financially in a great place for the future as well.
They have 8 first round picks, Adam, over a 4-year period. Like, that is pretty sensational business there. I mean, and also as well, they're not far away from being an AFC championship team. We saw them do lots of positive signs in 2020. They look good. I really am liking Brian Flores. I'm really enjoying him. I'm hating this criticism of Tua, and the people are like, we need to get rid of Tua straight away. I feel like he's not being given a chance at all. But what's your aspect here of Miami, Adam? How are you feeling about it all?
Well, I think we can safely say that the general manager, Chris Greer, likes a trade, because he's done 26 since 2019 and he's very good at it. they've got loads of picks and they are ready to go, really, to be honest. They really are. They've got a good young defense. They might need to improve a little bit on the safety side. I do wonder whether you might see them take a safety in the first couple of rounds, because I think that is somewhere they do need to look at. But aside from that, it is very much, we need to get wide receivers in for Tua. And you, to be honest, when it comes to Tua, you've just got to let him develop and see how he goes. It might work, it might not. Unfortunately, the position that they've kind of put themselves in, I mean, they went 10-6 this year. They're going to be a team that's going to be in the playoffs or around the playoffs. So it could be a good few years before they end up in a position to pick a high-end quarterback again. So, you know, hopefully for Miami, it works out well for them. with Tua. So I think that'll be interesting. I think when it comes to the first round, they're definitely going for a offensive weapon. I think it'll be a receiver. But the whole point of the trade and coming back in to number six was because, to be honest, they don't really mind who they get. They didn't need that for number three pick, but they knew they could get stuff for it and they needed to come back up to number six. So if you think about it, if you have Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, and one of the quarterbacks going to San Francisco, it's then the next three. Well, the three sort of big offensive weapons then are Ja'Marr Chase, Devon Smith, and Kyle Pitts, probably. They're probably quite happy with any of them.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think that's probably why they've done what they've done. But yeah, they've done really well out of it.
They could really reasonably trade again on the night. Like I really think they could look at the board again and go, okay, four quarterbacks have gone, let's say, to Jags, Jets, 49ers, Falcons. Penei Sewell's gone to the Bengals, let's say. They get to six and they're like, well, we could take Kyle Pitts. We could go and get some more picks. We can trade down to 10 or even maybe lower, depending on the player and the team and everything like that, and maybe be able to get some more picks there. Adam, you seem pretty sealed that they're going to go wide receiver. Andrew, with this move, do you think they still go wide receiver? The hard pull sort of for me is I look at it, I'm like, Mike Gesicki's pretty good. Devontae Parker's pretty good. They're bringing Will Fuller. He's pretty decent. Jakeem Grant's all right for them. They've not got a bad offense, really. Do you reckon they go wide receiver this pick or maybe go offensive line? And then with that lower pick, they maybe go running. I'd say running back's the glaring thing for the Dolphins, and they're not going to take a running back at six. I think we know that. So do you think wide receiver's going to be the pick there, Andrew?
Yeah, originally I thought, you know, they need to protect her a bit more and maybe you'd go offensive line, but there's no need to trade up to six to get one of those offensive linemen. There's three fantastic offensive linemen in there and they're going to be available at 12 for them. So, going back up is definitely a sign that they want Smith or Chase or Waddle or Pitts. It's got to be one of them. First time round to go back up because they're the only players that aren't going to drop sort of down to that level. They've got plenty of time. What's it, the 18th pick they've got as well, is it, later on in the draft?
The 18th, you know, yes.
They've got, I reckon, at 18, you've got your first pick of the running backs down there if you really want to go and get one of the talented running backs. Yeah, they're definitely taking wide receiver with that pick. I think that's the only reason you trade him back up to it.
Or Kyle Pitts, the versatile weapon, as he's very fondly called.
He's essentially a wide receiver. Yeah.
There's a YouTuber I watch who does NFL Madden stuff, and he does lots of mock draft. He's really good. Like he gets tape and everything. He's really, really into it. And he's big on calling him a versatile weapon. All his fans take the mickey out of him because he calls him a versatile weapon all the time. But I do say to people, like, people say to me, oh, yeah, but he's like tight end. I'm like, well, yeah, but you don't, just because the label says tight end, don't just say he's a tight end. Like, he could be anyone for what we all know. It's like we have offensive tackles, you know, whether it could be left tackle, right tackle, guards, really, if you can play the position, like Elijah Vera Tucker, for example. Andrew, we'll stick with you on the Eagles. So the Philadelphia Eagles go from 6 down to 12. Thoughts and opinions, obviously a divisional rival for you as a New York Giants fan. I'm really struggling with what they will do. I feel like it is wide receiver, but I'm just not sure at the same time. What are you thinking here, Andrew? Is that a wise decision by them? Because essentially they've gone from now to number six, from 6 to 12. At six, they could have taken Ja'Marr Chase, Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith, Kyle Pitts, whoever they wanted. Now they've sort of gone into that position where, like, well, we'll just get whatever we're happy with. And we've said that positively about the Dolphins in a way, but now I feel like I'm saying negatively about the Eagles. But I would see Eagles as you have more problems than the Dolphins do.
Yeah, I mean, I still think it's sensible that the move is still, you know, viable. It's not stupid. You know, they've acquired some pick for future as well. And they're going down to a position, like I say, where there's going to be one of those big names available. I just think they don't mind overly which one it is. There's going to be one of those names available for them, because the people between them need defensive players. They need cornerbacks or offensive line. So there's still going to be a weapon available for them if they need it at that position, or if they wanted to, just best available player, if that's what they want. Mm. They've got a lot of holes on their team, no matter where it is. So they might just be happy with best available player at that position, which would suit them, because they, like I say, they need lots of players in that team to strengthen it and get them back in that division, because everyone else has made moves forward and I feel like they haven't yet. So, you know, it's sensible from them and it makes sense.
I think the Cowboys have made the strongest moves just yet. I feel like they've bought some, or they've not done as much as maybe the Dallas fans maybe want to. Now, a close friend of mine, Adams, who we are in regular contact with, is a Philadelphia Eagle fan, and we do like to poke a bit of fun at him, I admit. Adam, they've now potentially got three picks in 2022 in the first round. This is total rebuild, isn't it? I mean, I know they're going to go and get an offensive weapon here at number 12, but really, with now Wentz gone, Jalen Hurts is your guy, feels like your guy anyway. Not really sure if he's going to be just yet, but this has definitely cemented him as going to be the starting quarterback for 2021 for sure, because there's doubt there's going to be the quarterbacks left at the pick 12 if they were ever thinking about it. So this is a total rebuild now by Philadelphia, isn't it? It's going to be a very different team come 2022.
Yeah, it feels like it's definitely a rebuild. I mean, unless they're going to keep with Joe Flacco for a few years, you never know, that could happen. but yeah, it feels like a complete rebuild. They need a receiver, you know, that's really they do. They DeSean Jackson's gone, Alshon Jeffrey, you know, they desperately need some receiver help. I think if he falls to them, the absolute ideal would be Jalen Waddle to them, you know, former teammate of Jalen Hurts as well, so that can only be a good thing. I think they need to rebuild. They need to maybe come again. It's unbelievable that you're talking about a team that won the Super Bowl only a few years ago, but it really is full rebuild. And if they can get in a stud wide receiver in this draft, it's great that they got the pick for next year. It's exactly what they need. Bring in a few more decent players, and then maybe they can start doing something.
Yeah, it's been a dramatic fall for Philadelphia, in all honesty, isn't it? I mean, it's interesting. It's a really interesting thing going on over there, because I feel like there is a lot of trust and money wrapped into people that there probably shouldn't be anymore, unfortunately, there. I feel, you know, Fletcher Cox is fantastic, but I don't think he's worth that much money anymore. He's older. There's people over there. Darius Slay's a bit older. They've got the offensive line is a lot older, never stays fit. So I think Philadelphia have actually a lot more problems than maybe people, well, definitely Philadelphia Eagle fans like to admit anyway. They really need to start looking a whole transformation of this team, and that just might happen going forward in 2021/2022, I suppose. Let's just quickly briefly talk about maybe movement on the night, because when I haven't wrote really any teams down that I think will trade up or down. However, when I look at the draft board, I've been messing around on Pro Football Focus. There's several mock draft simulators out there for people to do. PFF does allow you to trade for without being a subscription member, whereas the one that I prefer to use, Draft Network, you can't do the trades in there. So I've been messing around with a couple of trades, because, again, like we said earlier, quarterback is the main thing here in this draft. It is a very good quarterback class. And I'll start with you, Andrew. So I'm going to start with you about who do you think is maybe going to be moving up, moving down, not even to like the top five or anything, just maybe in the middle of the draft as well. Any teams that you think may feel that they can get a bit more for their pick, or maybe they want to jump up ahead and try and get someone who is incredibly talented.
I mean, when I'm doing my mock drafts, there's definitely two teams that I'm feeling like they're at the top end of the draft and their picks are kind of a little bit like they don't need them overly. And that's the Atlanta Falcons. I feel like they need a defender. I feel like defense is such a struggle. I do think Matt Ryan is one of the most underrated quarterbacks. I think he's absolutely fantastic. and he can do a job, and he's proven that over a long period of time, and you know, he's always healthy. And I just think at number four, you could trade down from that and still get one of the absolutely incredible big name edge rushers or linebackers that are in this draft. So they don't need to be as high as four to take one of them. So they could trade down. My next one is Denver. You know, their issue was cornerback. Then they went out and got cornerbacks and free agency and things like that. So it was one of them where I'm going, take another cornerback for depth, or take an O-lineman for depth. They could trade down from nine. Nine's quite a high pick for someone who might need someone. So I just feel like they could trade down if they wanted to. If you were looking at trade up, I think you're probably looking at maybe Washington or Chicago being those, maybe New Orleans wanting to go up to try and build. They're the teams that might need one of the more key players in a draft, that need a player to properly go out and strengthen a team rather than just squad depth. So yeah, they're my thoughts on teams that might move. And there's definitely those two dropping down. So yeah.
See, you've got the Atlanta Falcons trading down and the Denver Broncos trading down. My problem is, when I've been doing mocks, is I've had Carolina and Denver and Atlanta trading with each other. I've had Denver going to go and get the quarterback, because Carolina and Denver could really. I mean, is Drew Lock going to be good? Is he good? We don't just know yet. Teddy Bridgewater's a clear bridge quarterback, but is decent enough. Both teams need a very good quarterback for the future. Carolina's in the same division as Atlanta, so I couldn't see them doing the trade because it'll be interdivision. Do you think do you not think that Denver is in the quarterback conversation at all?
Yeah, it is the position I've kind of think they're the weakest at. Drew Lock looked good, and then last year he had his injury woes and didn't look the same guy. But I feel like they're ready to sort of give him another chance. I don't think they're ready to give up on him. I think he's definitely got another year in him. So they might not want to make this move just yet. They are a team that, like I said, previous shows, they tend to prefer to bring a veteran proven quarterback into the fold rather than go and get a youngster and develop them. They like people who can big arms and can throw the ball. And there's a couple of them that they could get further down the draft or in the second round if they wanted someone to sit behind him. You know, the likes of Kyle Trask and Keelan Mond and, possibly Mac Jones could be further down that draft. And they fit the bill to potentially work as a backup if needs be in the future. I don't think they need to move up to go and get a quarterback just yet. I think they can roll the dice one more time with Drew Lock.
Of course, the big anomaly out there that's still not happened is if Zach Wilson's going to the Jets, where does Sam Darnold go? So you're completely right. Someone like Denver could go and get Sam Darnold. And yeah, all right, he's not a veteran, but he's a seasoned quarterback who has a big arm and is decent. So that is another. I'm sure we'll definitely explore the Sam Darnold conundrum another time. But Adam, on to you. Who are your movers? Who's going up? Who's going down? Who do you think is going to have itchy fingers to trade on the day or before the day?
I think the most obvious team for me to move up would be, Carolina have come out and said that they want a new, they want a new quarterback. They don't want Teddy Bridgewater for the future. But obviously, it is Atlanta, so that's could be quite difficult. Like you said, Denver moving up, I think is possible. You've got maybe a team like New England who has got Cam for the year, but isn't necessarily thinking of him for the future after that. It's funny because it feels like there's them three teams and Chicago as well. And you feel like there's them four teams. There's only a few quarterbacks left to come out that are sort of starting quarterbacks. But you've got Jimmy Garoppolo, Sam Darnold, and even someone like Gardner Minshew as well. You know, you just don't know whether they.
Deshaun Watson as well, obviously, has got
the conversation. Yeah. So you just don't know with all of them. So I think they're the ones that are probably most likely to move up if they wanted to get a quarterback. Mm. As for the others to move up, I mean, anyone who's got some compensation picks. You know, that's what a lot of them use them for. I mean, it's what the Green Bay Packers have been doing for the last 3 years. We move up a few spots every year and just, you know, throw away a fourth rounder from a compensation pick. So I think they're the obvious ones that will move up. When it comes to trading down, I think the obvious one is Atlanta. I mean, they might decide to go for a quarterback, but I feel like Matt Ryan's still got a fair few years left in him, and he's not that bad. He gets a bit of a bad rep, but he's not that bad, really. And I think the other thing with Atlanta is that it might be quite good for them to be able to pick up the future picks in the next few years by moving down. The only other one that I did think of when it came to moving down was Tampa, who are like at pick 32. Mm. You've basically got the same team that won the Super Bowl. So do you need it? You know, maybe you could come out of the first round and get yourself some more picks in the future or for this draft. And maybe, you know, that's something that you could see happen. But I don't know. I get the feeling that the only real up and down moves are going to be really if somebody wants that quarterback right at the very top of the draft.
Yeah, I think the moves... We love to see lots of moves, and we were thoroughly thought that there was going to be loads of moves in the 2020 draft. And then when it got down to like pick 8 and there was no moves, everyone was like, oh, right. Oh, we've had everyone moving for weeks. And no one moved. No one moved to go get Tua. No one moved down. And it's there's going to be maybe that as well, isn't there? That we get to this draft and there isn't any movement. And there might be a couple of teams that move up the board a little bit, but I mean, it's exciting and we love seeing it, but there is definitely more talent on the quarterback spectrum, I suppose, this year, which is obviously the most important position for teams to be wanted to move up. I mean, or there'll be no trade at all and you'll get to the mid rounds and you'll get some team drafting up all the way to go and get a quarterback that they'll never use. I mean, it just depends what team you support, Adam, if it was a nice, polite dig at the Green Bay Packers there, just let it swan over his head. It's okay. It's all right. Don't worry about a 2021 draft.
I think that we're hyping the 2021 quarterbacks out of college a bit too much. Before the season started, the projected quarterbacks were Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields. They were one and two, and then Trey Lance's name was put into the fold. I mean, you could probably vouch for this, Freddie. When you were looking at this, you only heard of Trevor Lawrence and Trey Lance, and you weren't looking at anyone else.
Yeah.
And the thing is, though, Mac Jones had a Joe Burrow season, and people were saying, is he good enough to be the face Alabama? Will it work out? Will they win the division? Will they flop? So, you know, Mac Jones had an anomaly season, and then he's now being said, oh, yeah, let's go after him. And then Zach Wilson, no one was talking about him being a first rounder, let alone the second pick in the draft, up until maybe the last few games of the season, where he started to be noisy on social media saying, come look at me, I'm fantastic, look what I can do, I can beat anybody, come and have a look. And it was only then that a bit of buzz came about him. Next year, there's some guys in there that I think next year's, bar Trevor Lawrence, next year's quarterback draft class is probably better on paper now than what it's last year's was. You know, there's Sam Howell at UNC, there's Spencer Rattler, there's Brock Purdy, who went back for another year. He was supposed to go into the draft year this year, but he's gone back. And there's Kendon Slovis at USC. They're all really, really impressive, and they've already played, and they've already had a season under their belt. And I just think there's a bit more hype about them than there is about this draft class quarterback already. So I don't know whether we get caught up in the hype of quarterbacks.
A bit of draft fever.
Season.
Draft fever and everyone starts to...
So we always say they need to go up, they need to go up, they need to go up. But there is some big names going into next year's draft. So if you are good enough for the next season or two seasons, one of the guys next year might be your guy.
You're right. Draft fever is crazy. Like, I remember the start of last year, the only names I knew was Trevor Lawrence, Trey Lance. I knew Justin Fields, but I can never remember his name. Gregory Russo and Sean Wade. And I only know Sean Wade because when Jeff Okuda got drafted, they went, well, we'll have to keep an eye on Jeff Okuda because his mate at Ohio State is probably better than him. So we'll see what happens next year. And that was the analyst saying that. And Sean Wade's now like not predicted to go to like end of second, third now. He's like dropped off the face of the earth. And there's like 10 cornerbacks who are now in front of him. And same with Gregory Russo. He did sit out the year. But there's so many edge players now who have suddenly overtaken him and seem to be getting the draft hype around them. And I think there is definitely a certain aspect where do you think teams do get hooked into it? Into like that draft, like sort of crazy, like the hurricane of the draft. There's these names flying around. I mean, what people are saying is that because of these combines and that there are individuals and you can't be as many scouts around as people, is there isn't that scout, GM, coach chit chat amongst each other that maybe influences how you feel or think about a player and that your actual organic thought about them because you can watch their film and you have a bit more of a direct it's a bit more lonely now at the combines because they're having to social distance and stuff like that, is that your image of the player is not getting murked by the fact of all these other people talking about them as well. So it must be incredibly interesting. I'd love to go over and witness the draft live. That would be truly fantastic. I think that's all we have time for today, gents. I really enjoyed chatting to you about the draft, guys. Lots of interesting things about these guys that have traded around. Hopefully it will be a really exciting 2021 draft. And I'm sure it'll be a lot of fun. Unfortunately, it is on a Thursday night this year, which sort of ruins it for you guys who have got work on the Friday morning. But don't worry, I'm going to be living that furlough life still, so I'll be able to watch it all the way through. Until then, guys, and enjoy your week. Like I said, you can follow our podcast on social media, on Facebook and Instagram, the Franchise Tag Podcast, and on Twitter with the handle @FranchiseTagUK. You can also email us on thefranchisetagpod@gmail.com. You can also find this podcast on iTunes Podcast, where you can leave a rating and a review, and we are on Spotify as well. But if you don't have platforms, that's fine. You can find all our episodes on our website, www.thefranchisetag.co.uk. Thank you, Andrew, and thank you, Adam, for joining me again. And have a good rest of your week. Enjoy the sun for the rest of the week, and maybe the snow on Monday if it does ever happen. But we'll see you all next week.